So this morning, my message is getting real and confronting our hurts. Having been in the ministry over 30 years, I've experienced the hurts of many, not to mention myself, my own family, but certainly walking with people through their hurts. And this past Thursday, I spent all day up at our annual conference headquarters in White Plains, New York. In fact, I was hurting afterwards because it took me 3 hours to get home in the traffic, the joy of living on Long Island. But it was a mandatory training that all clergy had to attend, and part of the training dealt with self-care, burnout, and depression. Now, can you believe that pastors would suffer from that? Why not? I put my pants on this morning one leg at a time. And the reality of it is, they were trying to get us to understand, to get in touch with your own feelings. Don't deny them. Don't over-spiritualize them. Be real. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. And so my question for you this morning is this. Does depression and discouragement ever affect a true believer? Okay, I got 7 yeses, and 90 people said they're not sure. Well, we're going to answer that question. Is it possible, is the question, for someone who has surrendered his or her life to Christ and has been filled as the temple of the Holy Spirit with the Spirit of God, is it possible to be discouraged and depressed? Yeah. But I want to ask this question. Has the church over the years, either through spoken or unspoken ways, given the impression that if you somehow are experiencing this, you are somehow unspiritual, or you're lacking in some area of your spirituality? And I really believe, having been around for a long time, that I think the church many times in unspoken ways has given that impression. That every time we see each other, it's praise the Lord, oh, everything's great. And meanwhile, deep down inside, we're dying over some reason, some circumstance, something that we're facing in our personal lives. Now, if you take our text for this morning, which is one of the Psalms written by the great king of Israel, David, it becomes quite relevant or obvious, I should say, that some of the great figures in Scripture have struggled with discouragement and depression in their lives. Some would like for us to believe that that we could praise our way out of anything. And if we don't, we're not very spiritual. I think that's a misnomer, if you will. One of the things that the training this past Thursday that I took up in White Plains with about 90 other pastors highlighted was that we all need to get real about confronting our hurts and sorrow and pain in realistic ways and yet still be a person of faith, even though we're acknowledging we've got some issues. You see, if feeling depressed or discouraged means that we are not very spiritual, then the major prophet Jeremiah was a very unspiritual man. What do I mean by that? Jeremiah 15:10. What sorrow is mine, he says, my mother. Oh, that I had died at birth. You imagine that kind of pain? I wish I was never born. I'm hated everywhere I go. The great major prophet Jeremiah said that. He must not be a very spiritual person, I guess. Another great major prophet and spokesperson for God was the prophet Elijah. He had just experienced a tremendous victory where he put 450 false prophets of Baal. He defeated them. He defeated them single-handedly with God. And yet, in the very next chapter of 1 Kings 19, learning that Queen Jezebel had put out a warrant for his arrest and death, he flees into the desert and he sits under a broom tree. Now, this is the great prophet Elijah now. And he says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'm standing here depressed and gloomy. The great prophet Elijah, I guess he wasn't a spiritual person either. I wonder how many people have said to themselves, I've had enough. I've had enough. Elijah says that. He says, I've had enough, and he says, take my life. I've had enough. Do you remember Roberto Duran and his fight with Sugar Ray Leonard? He said, no mas, I had enough. And he walks out of the ring. He was so humiliated by Sugar Ray Leonard's speed that he walked out. He says, no more, I've had enough. I wonder how many of you ever figuratively sat under your broom tree and said, I've had enough. I'm tired. I'm tired, and I've had enough. I'm sure we've all heard that. And so David cries these words out about being discouraged. These were all godly people who loved God and enjoyed a close, intimate relationship with God, and yet something was going on in their lives that caused them to become discouraged and depressed and down. And then I look at historical figures. One of my favorite writers is Charles Dickens. I know somebody here is... He's been at a Charles Dickens play one time or the other, right, Susie? Charles Dickens, one of my favorite authors. I think I've shared this before. As a young kid in the summertime, our beach was the fire escape in Brooklyn. And I'd go out on the fire escape with a blanket and some Kool-Aid or something, and I'd read books like A Christmas Carol and The Tale of Two Cities and David Copperfield. But you know what I found out from his biography? Dickens often suffered from depression. Yes, one close friend wrote this, and I'm going to read it. On stage, he was a born showman, loving the applause of the audience. But off stage, he was depressed and lonely. He was the most famous novelist of his time, and yet happiness eluded him. When people saw him in the public, oh, he was always up. But when he was alone, in a quiet place, he struggled with discouragement and depression. And yet Charles Dickens wrote a letter to his pastor, the Reverend D. McCrae. He says, all of my strongest illustrations are drawn from the New Testament. And if you read his books, A Christmas Carol is a clear example of that. The whole idea of being kind and being generous and having your life transformed. It's the new creation in Jesus Christ. I mean, if you can't see that, in A Christmas Carol, written by Dickens. So he was influenced by the New Testament. He was a man of faith and God, and yet he struggled with depression and discouragement. And then perhaps the greatest president who ever lived was Abraham Lincoln. He struggled with discouragement and depression often. He faced one of the most challenging periods in the history of our nation during the Civil War. Lincoln was a man of the Bible, however, and some of you may recall that when President Obama took his oath of office, he took the oath of office with his hand rested on Lincoln's Bible. Lincoln was also a man of prayer. He was often seen in the president's residence reading scripture. He was often seen on his knees, reaching out to God, seeking direction and wisdom. Which direction do I need to take this country? We're torn apart. And let me tell you, our nation is still torn apart to this day. It's believed that it's 50-50, one side or the other. And my goodness, I just like I'm praying that the peninsula of Korea would come together, I also pray that this nation would one day come together again. We need to pray for this nation as well. Now, here were two great men of history, one of the arts and one from the political arena, who relied on God and were men of faith, and yet oftentimes they struggled with depression and discouragement. How do we as God's people, How do we, as believers and people of faith, how are we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, how do we handle this matter of discouragement and depression when it comes charging into our lives? It's not easy when you hurt bad inside and you want to keep up the persona that you have everything under control when you don't. The feeling that you can't share it with anyone because it may be misread as you being unspiritual, or you got some hidden sin in your life, like you're sticking up 7-Elevens at midnight and nobody knows it. Good, decent people, people of faith, spiritual people, struggle with this. And you wonder, what will people think if they find out he must not be reading his Bible enough? He must not be praying enough. And I ask the question again, how do we, as God's people, believers, people of faith, handle this whole matter of discouragement and depression when it comes into our personal lives? Well, the best way to handle it is to get real and to realize everyone, one time or the other, will find him or herself in such a place. Maybe someone's struggling with it today, this morning. It wouldn't be uncommon to have somebody in the church going through a tough time. And so the first thing is, depression could be the result or intensified when we draw away from God. Yes, when we allow the power of our circumstances to be greater than the power of God, this can happen. There's no doubt about that. But believers throughout the ages have worshiped God in the midst of deep valley experiences with a testimony that their God is greater than the situation that they faced. And I bet you there's a million testimonies here today that we could offer. The danger, though, is always present that when we are in a state of discouragement or depression, we pull away from the spiritual things that only causes us to grow weaker in our condition, in our position. And so I've often said this, and I'm sure I've shared it here in a sermon or two or a Bible study, that when you're in a bad place and that's the day you decide, I'm not going to church or I'm going to miss that Bible study, friends, break your legs to get to church and to that Bible study. Because I'm going to tell you, that's the day when God's going to speak to your heart and you're going to hear exactly what you needed to hear for that moment. Isolating yourself and pulling away is not the answer. There are times when it seems that God is very distant. I know I felt that at times. Not because he is, but because we have let our circumstances override our faith. And therefore, instead of God being distant, we pull away and we're distant from God. Two, isolation. I just spoke about isolation, being alone. Isolation, feeling as if you are the only person on the face of the earth. And verse 4 of what Trudy just read, David was remembering when he was right in the thick of things, and David saw a lot of challenges in his life, when God's presence was so real in his life, but now he felt separated, and he felt alone. There was a sense of isolation. There was a sense of being alone. There was a sense that nobody cares, a feeling of insecurity and being uprooted from a place that's solid, that we could stand on. That may not be reality as it relates to God, but I always tell people, don't deny your reality if that's what you're feeling. Don't deny what you're feeling. Don't deny your feelings. And like David, we have to be honest with what we're feeling and what we're going through. No one was speaking words of encouragement into David's life when he wrote this psalm. In verse 5, he says, "Why am I so disturbed?" And the word for disturbed, by the way, I looked it up in the Hebrew, the original Hebrew, and it says an incoherent murmuring. That's the Hebrew translation of that word, disturbed. It's an image of a person walking around and murmuring to him or herself in their loneliness. There are people in such a dark and lonely place that as they drive their car or they walk around their house, they murmur and they play this tape over and over again in their head, the painful circumstance that they're walking through. And what do they say to themselves? I'm never going to get better. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what I'm going to do. There's no hope. Oh, I can't stand this life. Life is horrible. I don't know how I'm going to get through this thing. Have you ever been there? Well, I have. In verse 7, David said it felt like the waves of life were breaking over him, almost as if he was drowning in his circumstances. And then in verse 10, he says, my very bones hurt from this pain that I'm in. Have you ever had pain where your bones hurt? Yeah. So how do we, as God's people, handle this matter of discouragement and depression? Well, we must be honest. That's the last point. If you need to seek out a counselor, please do so. Do you know I was raised in a house that if you went to see a counselor, it was shameful? Yeah. My father's favorite quote, we don't put our laundry out on the line. We deal with it in-house. And he never dealt with it. Seek a counselor. There's nothing wrong with it. And I want to know, there's people who disagree with me on this, and if you do, that's fine. But you know what? If a psychiatrist or a medical doctor thinks that you need medication to level you out, then do it. People will say, oh, that's not faith. Well, you know what? Believe it or not, God even uses doctors. And if that's what you need to do, do it. It doesn't mean you lack faith. It means you're strong in wisdom, but we still need God. Not just the medication, not just the counseling, but a combination of that along with God. Several times David asked this question, why? Why is this happening to me? Why now? Why me? Our question should be why, but rather, what do I need to do in light of the situation I'm in? Lord, I'm in this funk right now. What do I need to do? Give me the wisdom. Give me the direction. Put somebody in my life. Let me seek out somebody to help me in my present state of being. I don't want to stay where I am right now. What I've learned most from my valley experiences personally has been this. Not how to get out of the valley, but what can I learn from my valley experience? I have grown the most when I was in a valley. Now, I don't like being in that valley, and I'll say this in front of you in this church. Lord, don't give me so many valley experiences. But I've grown through those experiences. Now, I want to tell you, I want to share a little personal story. What movie is that from? Goodfellas, yeah. But my pastor took me out to lunch one day. And I want to tell you something. As a young man, I had such respect for this godly man. In fact, I placed him on a pedestal. I saw him as being perfect. Well, during that lunch, he quickly took himself off that pedestal. He shared how he struggled every day to live a life of Christ. How he got into arguments with his wife. I couldn't believe it. In church, they looked like the Cleaver family. And he says, oh, I fight with the missus all the time. Really? I get into arguments with her. The kids are giving me all my gray hair. Those angelic little ones that you bring to church every Sunday, really? He told me how he gets down at times, and he says, you know what, Chuck? Sometimes I struggle with deep depression. I said, wow, and I walked away from that lunch with a whole new perspective on life. I didn't walk away feeling as if I didn't respect this guy anymore. I walked away respecting him more than I did before I went to that lunch with him. I had no idea that several years later I would follow his footsteps. He is my spiritual father, and I would enter the ministry. But I knew one thing from that lunch date. I would never promote myself as being perfect and climb up on that pedestal. It's not going to happen. I would, with God's help, lead people and encourage them and have them realize that we're in this struggle together. I'm not above you. Yeah, I'm your shepherd. I'm your pastor. I take that responsibility. But perfect, I could assure you I'm not. It's all about being real. Every day we have to make a decision on whether or not we're going to focus on our circumstances and stay there, or whether or not we're going to take a real look at our circumstances and stay focused on God. And I believe that's what faith is all about. Even in the midst of that valley, even in the midst of that darkness, even in the midst of that weight that's fallen upon us like the weight of an elephant, we're still going to focus on God. I believe that's what faith is all about. And so David says in the opening of the psalm that Trudy read, like a deer pants after water, his heart pants after God, even in the midst of his discouragement and depression. He knew that God could meet him at that point of his life. He remembers the psalm, how God worked in miraculous ways in the past. He remembered how God answered his prayers in the past. And I want to tell you, if God did it before, God could do it again. If God has worked a miracle in your life in your past, why would you not think that in this situation you're in right now that's brought you so low that God will not come through? Of course he will. David says, put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior, my God. David said, in spite of my circumstances, I still place my hope and my trust in God, and I'll still praise him, he says. And that's what faith is all about. That in spite of our circumstances, we'll still find something within us to turn to God and cry out to him. It's easy to praise God when everything's going well. David was saying that his God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our circumstances may change, church, but I want to assure you that God never changes. You ever hear the phrase, so-and-so hit rock bottom? That's a good place to be, because the rock is Jesus Christ. And if you could fall on him, you're on solid ground, and it's not sinking sand. I recently sent a quote from Psalm 40 to one of my daughters who was going through discouragement. And I don't know if I put this on a slide. Yeah. David writes, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. Folks, that's a deep place. That's a dark place. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. That's what I'm talking about this morning. A God who hears us and turns to us in our hour of need. A God who lifts us out of that dark place, that heavy place, and sets our feet on a firm place so that we could stand once again rather than falling. A God who puts a new song in our mouth even when we didn't feel like singing. And so these 7 points I'd like for you to catch. This is just my advice that has worked for me in the past. Turn your circumstances from your circumstances and turn to God as David did. Don't keep your emotions bottled up. Reach out to someone you could share it with, someone you could trust. It could be a spouse. It could be a best friend. It could be somebody special who you know you could have confidence in. Talk to somebody about what's going on. Learn to praise God even when you don't feel like it. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and he wrote that from jail, from prison. Place God ahead of yourself. Don't run ahead of him trying to solve everything on your own with your own strength. Adjust yourself so that your feet are on a solid foundation. Make God the source of your strength, because we know from life that people will disappoint us. Have you ever been disappointed by somebody you trusted? Yeah, God won't disappoint you. You could trust him. Put your hope and trust in God. David did, and he was given a new song. And so I'll close with this question once again. Does depression and discouragement ever affect a true believer? Amen. Yes, it does. But with God's help, we can get through it, friends. And we can get through it well. And so, Lord God, I just lift up this morning. I don't know if someone here in this church is going through a difficult time. Maybe there's a loved one sick, or there's a relationship that's strained, or there's a medical problem that has come into our life, or the life of someone we care about. There may be financial issues. There may be a child or a grandchild that's gone in the wrong direction. A marriage may be in trouble. I don't know, Lord. But I know we could put our trust in you, and that no matter when we cry out, you hear us, and you will not leave us alone. We're never alone. And may we remember that. In Jesus' name, amen.